go. I am going to need your help today. I had a wonderful weekend off, trouncing all over Wisconsin. I brought back whatever crud Wisconsin happens to have, and my voice is a little wonkadoodle, and we are still searching for an accompanist. So, all of you know all of the songs that we're doing today, unless you've never been here before, and if you haven't, then just follow along, we will teach you. I invite you to please rise as your spirits and bodies allow. We're going to sing hymn number 1003, Where Do We Come From? Yes, rise. And I'll invite you just to sing along with me, and one, two, three. Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? One more time. Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? Good. Where do we come from? Where do we come from? Where do we come from? Do it one more time. All right, now, remember what I said about singing. Where does it come from? Your belly, that's right. You gotta push it out from your belly. And when you're tired and it's the first thing on Sunday morning, you're like, sunshine, don't make me do any kind of work. What are you talking about? The other thing is we gotta wake our faces up. So I want you to scrunch your face as really tight as you can. And as wide as you can. And really tight. And wide. You feel all that blood rush to your face? It's amazing how the body works. All right, let's try the third verse and hope I don't lose my voice. Mystery, mystery, life is a riddle and a mystery. Mystery, mystery, life is a riddle and a mystery. Mystery, mystery, life is a riddle and a mystery. Mystery, mystery, life is a riddle and a mystery. Where do we come from? Where are we going? Where do we come from? Where are we going? Where do we come from? Where are we going? From your belly, really loud.
Where do we come from? Where are we going?
Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? Next one. Where do mystery, really soft.
Mystery, life is a riddle and a mystery.
Really loud. Mystery, mystery, life is a riddle and a mystery. Where do we come from? Where are we going? Where do we come from? Where are we going? May it be so. Enter, rejoice, come in. Our second hymn sing this morning is a beloved one in this community, Blue Boat Home. I invite you to remain standing as your bodies and spirits allow. If you need to sit down, I understand. I give you complete permission to do whatever you need to do for you. How many folks know this song? Yeah. If you don't, you'll remember it very soon. Okay, here we go.
Though below me I feel no motion, standing on these mountains and plains, far away from the rolling ocean, still my dry land heart can say, I've been sailing all my life now, never harbor or port had I known. Wide university ocean I travel, and the earth is my blue boat home. Sun, my sail, and moon, my rudder, as I ply the starry sea, leaning over the edge in wonder, casting questions into the deep, drifting here with my ship's companions, all we kindred pilgrim souls, making our way by the light of the heavens in our beautiful blue boat home. I give thanks to the waves upholding me, hail the great winds urging me on, brave the infinite sea before me, sing the sky my sailor's song. I was born upon the fathoms, never harbor or port have I known. The wide universe is the ocean I travel, and the earth is my blue boat home.
Please be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the First Unitarian Church of Alton. My name is Joy Heft. I welcome you to this community of hope, a community that knows about broken places and love us as we are, a community that knows that none of us come from life unscathed and yet works to ground ourselves in grace and trust. We gather each week knowing that to be a whole person means accepting the brokenness in ourselves and those around us and the world. We strive to embrace the broken places, let them be guideposts for our lives, and remember the ancestors who were just as broken, who made it possible for our lives to exist at all. Together we love in the face of a fractured world and seeing the beauty in that face. We are Unitarian Universalists. I offer my welcome to you and, in particular, those who are first-time visitors. We invite you to fill out one of the visitor cards found at the back of your gray hymnal and place it in the offering plate or give it to an usher. We'll send you our church newsletter for the next 3 months to let you know about the programs and activities going on here at church. We are glad you are here and hope to see you again on future Sundays. We do have a nursery for infants and young children under the age of 4 years old. Through those doors to the left and the first door past the foyer. At the front, we have a spirit chair, which includes activities for all ages. You are invited to go to the spirit chair at any time during the service to take an activity back to your seat. We welcome everyone into this home of comfort, spirit, justice, and hope. I have a couple announcements. The basement organization is today at 11:45. This is a sorting day. We will work no more than 1.5 hours, less if the task is completed. All help of those ages 10 and over are needed. For 10 to 18, you must have your parents' permission to help. Also, will someone who knows how to get to the basement please meet with Dee Evans in the workroom at 11:45 by the buffet table?
Dee, will you stand up so we know who you are? That's Dee Evans, everyone. Thank you.
And it was also given to my attention that next Sunday is daylight savings time. So we will jump ahead an hour. So just put that on your calendar, that next Sunday, March 13th, will be daylight savings time and we'll spring forward. Right, yeah.
And you don't want to miss church.
You don't want to miss church.
Oh, good morning, everyone. My name is Reverend Sunshine Jeremiah Wolf. I am the interim minister here at the First Unitarian Church of Alton, and it is my privilege to welcome you all here today. I just have a few announcements, and yes, thank you for that one. You may want to miss church, but try not to. Spring forward. I don't like the spring one. That's one where we lose sleep, right? So I will try and not be too groggy, but all bets are off. Much love to anybody who brings me a cup of coffee. Next Sunday, we have at 9 a.m. our final organizational discussion about our social justice and social service work. This is to help me as a minister determine how we want to organize this, and also to be able to come up with a process by which if a member of the church wants the congregation to take a stand on an issue, we have a way that they can bring it through and bring it before the entire congregation for a vote. So if you're interested in learning more about that or being involved in that discussion, please join us next Sunday, springing forward to 9 a.m. It'll be in Emerson Place, I'm sure. Here. At the church. It'll probably be in Emerson Place. Oh, right. Then it'll be, we'll find a place. I always find a place wherever things aren't happening. So don't worry about it. It'll happen. Okay. Friday at 7 p.m. we'll have our race and film series. This month is the movie called Salt of the Earth. It's a black and white film from the 1950s. All of the people who participated in directing and creating it were put on the Hollywood 10, which were folks who were declared by the McCarthy administration to be communists. And the film was then banned and was not aired for at least 30 years, except in highly secretive places. It is actually a pretty spectacular film that talks about our early immigration history and also the role of women in that history. So I encourage you to join us in that movie. It's really well done. 7 o'clock p.m. this Friday night here in this room. And then lastly, we have moved from having our Saturday Vesper services every Saturday to once a month. That'll be the second Saturday of the month at 4 o'clock p.m. I know many of you enjoy the meditation and the kind of way that that service works. It has movement and all kinds of things involved in it. And so we know folks want to come, but don't always want to commit to once a week. So if you're interested in it, second Saturday of the month, 4 o'clock, you'll be here next Saturday. And with that, that concludes this morning's announcements, and we begin our service with a prelude by Rufus Wainwright.
God, that David played and it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for music, do you? It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on.
Today's opening words are by C. Joy Bell C. We all have cracks and tears and shattered glass within our souls. Some have more than others. We do not wish to seek one who has none, but we wish to find the one who can say, "Look at me, look at this." We wish to find the one who sees every bit of broken glass and who will put those pieces into the palms of our hands and say, "Please keep them." And we wish to be that kind of person too. This is how it should be.
I need a couple of volunteers to help me with the chalice lighting this morning. Who's willing to come on up? I see Isabella and I saw a hand back there. Who was that? You can come on up. Anybody, any age. I would like an adult to help too. Somebody's done it before. I will pick an adult. I have no problem with that option either. Yomi, come on up. I'll pick a worship associate. I know. Oh, and Paul, wonderful, great. That's okay. Today's about brokenness. It's all about imperfection, right? All right, so we will do the chalice lighting hands and words, and you join with us. So we light this chalice. Symbol of Unitarian Universalism. May it remind us of the divine spark in all of creation, the power of love to heal what is broken, and to be grateful for life's blessings each day. Thank you for your help. And Thomas Cochran will light our chalice this morning. Hopefully. I invite everybody to please rise as their spirits and bodies allow. Some of you may remember this song. It means, "Even here, I am at home." Or, "Where my heart dwells, I am at home." How many of you enjoy Ladysmith Black Mombasa? Yes? So Jason Shambhala is one of the performers in that band. He was having a hard time being homesick and away from South Africa. And this phrase came to him in his mind and in his heart and in his spirit is something that sustained him in a time of brokenness and separateness. And so even here I am at home. So say these words, "Tula Klazio."
Tula Klazio.
Nala Pase.
Nala Pase.
Kaya.
Kaya.
Hey, Kai.
Hey, Kai.
Nala Pase Kaya.
Nala Pase Kaya.
And that's it. That's all you need to know. The rest of it is just following along and then hopefully clapping when it comes time. The more clapping, the better. And so, guys, like this, just repeat after me. Tula Klazio Nala Pase Kaya. 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 Hey, Kaya, 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 Nala Pase Kaya. Tula Klazio Nala Pase Kaya. Tula Klazio Nala Pase Kaya. Hey, Kaya, Nala Pase Kaya. Hey, Kaya, Nala Pase Kaya. Tula Klazio Nala Pase Kaya. Tula Klazio Nala Pase Kaya. Hey, Kaya, Nala Pase Kaya. Hey, Kaya, Nala Pase Kaya. Tula Klazio Nala Pase Kaya. Tula Klazio Nala Pase Kaya. Hey, Kaya, Nala Pase Kaya. Hey, Kaya, Nala Pase Kaya. May it be so. Please be seated.
I will keep broken things, the big clay pot with raised iguanas chasing their tails. Two of their wise heads sheared off. I will keep broken things, the old slave market basket brought to my door. By Mississippi, a jagged pole gouged in its sturdy, dark oak side. I will keep broken things, the memory of those long, delicious night swims with you. I will keep broken things. In my house, there remains an honored shelf on which I will keep broken things. Their beauty is they need not ever be fixed. I will keep your wild, free laughter, though it is now missing its reassuring and graceful hinge. I will keep broken things. Thank you so much. I will keep broken things. I will keep you. Pilgrim of Sorrow, I Will Keep Myself, by Alice Walker.
I will keep a place for broken things. How many of you, the minute you break something, it's gone? It's out of your house, out of your mind. Anybody? Some of you are like that, yes. It's okay to admit it if you are. How many of you, something breaks and you just kind of forget about it and lays in a pile or in a corner and gathers dust, and yeah, I'm that person, absolutely. The thing I want us to take home today that is perhaps not good to just throw out the broken things or to let them gather dust. How many of you have a favorite toy that is broken that you still hold on to? I have my big Biggie Bear from before I was born. Thing's about as half as tall as I am. It's got holes. The stuffing's pretty much gone. It's been sewn to high heaven. It is about the brokenest broken bear you can imagine. Any of you have toys like that? Just so worn and tattered and whatever. And yet it holds a place in my heart. It's deeply powerful. It's rich with memory, rich with love and life. Broken and yet valuable. I will hold a place for broken things. I can imagine Alice Walker's shelf with a little clay pot and some pictures of broken relationships, of little pieces, of reminders of things that once mattered and still do. I like how Joy read the poem. It's how it's written, line by line, all broken up, difficult to understand because it is broken, and yet speaks to a truth that every one of us sitting here can understand, be it a broken toy, or a broken friendship, or a broken heart, or a broken hip. Whatever it may be, our own broken bodies, our own broken lives, none of us leave this life unscathed. None of us live this life without some brokenness in it. And United States culture would have us pretend like it didn't happen, bury it under a bushel. So well, in fact, that we put all of our hopes in some weird orange-headed guy and imagine somehow he's gonna make America great again, as if the brokenness wasn't part of why it was great in the first place. Not perfect, filled with a racist history, a genocidal history, a sexist history, a history that used people, and yet a history in which we have said yes to life again and again and worked to repair those wounds. We keep a place sacred for those broken places. One of the things I loved about being in the South that is really different from being in the North in a lot of ways is that they hold sacred even those places that remind them of racism and slavery and brokenness. You can visit the first Confederate house in Montgomery. It's a museum now. And it is two blocks from the Civil Rights Museum. Because the history matters. The broken things matter. If we bury that history and forget it, we are doomed to repeat it. And I'm very, very much worried we're repeating it now. Yes? We need a place for those broken things in our lives. For those times when we get angry at our parents or at our kids. For those times when we say that hurtful thing and immediately regret it. For a life well lived has in it regrets, right? Things we didn't mean to do, things we ultimately learn from when we've not been our best selves. And I will venture a guess that some here gathered will say that their deepest kindness comes from learning from their meanest moment. Not to go there again. Not to do that thing that hurt, that broke their soul and the souls of others. Keeping a shelf, a place for those broken things, not because we want to live there, but because we don't want to forget it. Because it is as much a part of our bodies as every other bit. The scars that live in us are as important as the blood that pumps through our heart. They make us who we are. So take a moment, and I want you to think of a broken thing. Something you're willing to share. It could be a toy. It could be a friendship. Think of one broken thing in your life that you want to keep on a shelf. And just turn to your neighbor and share in a couple of sentences, not very long, what that broken thing is. Just turn to your neighbor and share what that broken thing is.
Mr. Robot plastic thing. It's a toy that I had when I was a kid that I loved, and I keep that at home. Michael and Robin. You can talk about how you can't think of something, too. That's valid.
Yeah. The hinge isn't, you know, but it was.
Okay, thank you. I invite you to wrap up your sharing. It's interesting how it's hard to think of something, but once you start talking, it's hard to stop, right? It's like you found it. It gets you right there. So we each have these broken things in our lives. I invite you to take advantage of ritual and symbolism and have something that you actually put on a shelf as kind of a placeholder. If you're a humanist or an atheist, and yes, I know we have those in the room, it's just meant to be a mental way of bringing awareness into your life. If you are more of a theist, it's a way of allowing yourself to hold something that you can connect to, a touchstone, if you will, in your prayer and meditation practice. But allow it to be something that just brings you into awareness of the broken things in your lives, and that they have a real and valid home for you. May it be so. Each week we take some time to think of those joys and sorrows, those celebrations and struggles, those times of brokenness and those times of juicy ultimate wholeness. We take some time to remember those in our lives, and we place them into the cleansing waters of this community, which include the waters that we gather at our annual water communion each September. I invite you at this time to take a stone, if you have not already done so, and place it in the bowl for those joys and sorrows, celebrations and struggles living within your life today, in a ritual of joy and celebration, sorrow and struggle. And join in singing. The river is flowing, flowing and growing. The river is flowing down to the sea. Mother, carry me, your child I will always be. Mother, carry me down to the sea. The river is flowing, flowing and growing. The river is flowing down to the sea. Mother, carry me, your child I will always be. Mother, carry me down to the sea. Keep singing.
We place a stone in the bowl for those joys and sorrows lying in the silent sanctuaries of our hearts, and a stone in the bowl for all those who cannot be with us in community today. I'm going to invite you today to join me in a movement meditation. I'll invite you to stay seated as we do this. But I first want you to notice your breathing. And to do that, I want you to breathe in slow. And I want you to notice how the wind feels against your nose as you breathe in. You ready? Breathing in and out. And now we're going to do it with that noise. And I want you, when you hear the sound, to follow the feeling of that sound as it goes from your head down into your stomach. And so we'll do a whoo when we do it, okay? So breathing in. Ooh. And one more time, breathing in. This is our movement meditation. We lift our hands up this day, opening our hearts and our minds to the world, giving our energy and our grace to a world broken, whose healing lives in our presence, in our action. We bring that energy into our hearts, for we know that healing into the world heals us, heals our souls and each other. We hold our hands to the ground and till the seeds in the earth of our souls, till the seeds in the earth of our families, our loved ones, and our hearts, our bodies, our minds. We hold in balance joy and celebration, beauty and life, warmth, alongside pain and illness, struggle and fear and anxiety. Knowing we can only feel as deeply one, reaching out, as we feel the other, reaching out. We can only feel deeply joy, as we can feel fear, hope, as we can anxiety. We bring these emotions into our hearts, our minds, and our souls. We offer gratitude this day for all around us, for ourselves, for the blessings of food, life, the universe, and everything. May we know that we are enough, that we are strong, and that we can fly. May it be so. I invite you to join in our meditation hymn. And when I tell you during our meditation hymn, I'll invite you to continue singing, but to greet your neighbors, particularly those you may not know. And our hymn goes like this. Comfort me. Comfort me. Comfort me, O my soul. Comfort me. Comfort me. Comfort me, O my soul. Continue singing and greet your neighbors. Comfort me. Comfort me. Comfort me, oh my soul. Comfort.
Well, that got a lot of energy.
Each week, we participate in a spiritual practice of giving to this community a portion of the financial resources that we receive. We do this with hope that these gifts will bring blessings to the world. We do this remembering that love can guide how money is used in the world. We give to this community so that love can spread to each of us and into the community. We give because we care and wish the message of love without creeds is needed by our ever dogmatic world. This week's offering will be lovingly received. May it be lovingly given.
The sound, the silence, the cries were cutting like knives in a fist fight. And I found you with a bottle of wine, your head in the curtains, and heart like the 4th of July. You swore and said, We are not shining stars. This I know, I never said we are. Though I've never been through hell like that, I've closed enough windows to know you can never look back. If you're lost in a room, or you're sinking like a stone, carry on. May your past be the sound of your feet upon the ground. Carry on. Talked about how our parents will die. All our names.
I have been waiting for 3 months to play that song. I invite you to please join us in our offertory blessing this morning. To the work of the church, which is weaving a tapestry of love we call community, we dedicate ourselves and these our offerings. Who wants a story? Yeah, okay, sure. All right, fine, I'm going. All right, let me try that again. Who wants a story?
I do.
It's about something broken.
Yay.
Oh, wow. Broken has got a yay. Woohoo, I'm doing my job right. So once upon a time, there was a little baby just born named Joseph, a little younger than that young one is now. And Joseph's grandfather made for him a very special blanket. How many of you had or have a very special blanket you've had since you were really a baby? Now, Joseph loved his blanket, and he carried it with him everywhere, until one day his mom said, "Joseph, that blanket, it is battered, it is worn, it is tattered, it is torn, it is time to throw it out." What do you think Joseph thought of that? No, he didn't want to get rid of it. He said, "No, I don't think so. Let's take it to Grandpa. He'll know what to do." And so they went to Grandpa's house, and Grandpa picked up the blanket, rolled it around and around and around, got out his scissors, snip, 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 got out his needle and thread, started sewing. And the next thing you know, the tattered, torn blanket was now a beautiful blue jacket that fit Joseph perfectly. Now, Joseph loved his jacket. He wore it to school the very next Monday. It was the greatest thing in the world. And then he got bigger, and guess what happened? He was too small for his jacket. And his mother said, "Joseph, I know you love that jacket, but it is battered and worn. It is tattered and torn. It is time to throw it out." Joseph said, "No, Mom, we just have to take it to Grandpa. He'll fix it." So they took the jacket to the next Shabbos, and Grandpa turned it around, looked at it this way, that way, got out his scissors, started snip, 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 snip. What do scissors sound like? Snip, 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 snip. Got out some needle and thread and started sewing in and out all over the place. And the next thing you know, Joseph had a beautiful vest. And he loved his vest, and he always wore it anytime he went to art class. Anytime he did anything creative, he felt super creative in his lovely vest. Until one day, his mom said, you can guess what mom said, huh? "Joseph, it is covered in paint and glitter. It is battered and worn and tattered and torn. It has got to go out. It's long enough." And Joseph said, "Oh, no, no, no. Grandpa can fix it." And so they took it to Grandpa. Grandpa turned it around and around, looked here and there and everywhere, started snip, 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 and got out the sewing and needle and thread and sewed here and there and everywhere. Until the next thing you know, Joseph had a wonderful tie. Beautiful tie that he wore to Shabbos every Friday with his grandparents. He loved his tie. Until, guess what happened? It got dirty and torn, exactly. It was dipped in soup and it just had seen better days. And Mom finally said, "Joseph, it's battered and worn, it's tattered and
torn.
It needs to go." And Joseph said, "No, Grandpa will fix it." How many of you are the grandpa that fixes everything? You know who you are. So he took it to Grandpa. Grandpa got out his scissors and went snip, 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 snip. Got out his needle and thread and started sewing back and forth until he came up with a beautiful handkerchief. And the handkerchief was perfect for Joseph's rock collection. How many of you have a rock collection? Yeah. So it had all of his rocks and marbles and everything kept up and bundled in there. But of course, after years, the rocks started falling out of the hole that had formed in the handkerchief. And his mom said, "Joseph, it's got a hole in it. It's getting smaller and smaller. It's battered and worn and tattered and torn. It's got to go out." And of course, what did Joseph say? "Let's take it to Grandpa. Grandpa will fix it, because Grandpa can do magic." So Grandpa takes the little handkerchief, turns it around here and there, gets out his scissors, and goes snip, 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 snip. Pulls out a needle and thread, goes zzzz. And the next thing you know, he's made a button. And the button is perfect for Joseph's favorite pair of pants. He gets it on his favorite pair of pants, and he wears it almost every day. Some pretty grungy pants after a while. Well, one day, guess what happened? The button fell off and went missing. And they looked high and low. They looked all over school. They looked all over home. They looked everywhere for the button. And they couldn't find it anymore. And Joseph said, Grandpa will know what to do, though. And so they went to Grandpa's house. And Joseph's mom said, even Grandpa can't make something out of nothing, Joseph. And Grandpa said, I'm sorry to say, but she's right. There's nothing I can do. So that Monday, Joseph went to school, and he started writing and scratching and scratching and scratching and scratching on a piece of paper. And his friend said, what are you doing? You don't have your button anymore. There's nothing you can do. And Joseph said, yes, it is gone, but there's just enough left to write down a really amazing story. The end. Yay. That is Phoebe Gilman, by the way. I love all of her books. I highly recommend them if you don't know them. She's just an amazing artist. There's a wonderful little sub-story that I want to tell you about, though. If you've seen a lot of picture books, you know sometimes there's little stories that are only told in the pictures. And in this story, there are a bunch of mice, a little family of mice. And when they first get in the story, it's just the parents moving into their new little apartment underneath Grandpa's place. And all they have is like a pea pod to put the brand new baby in, and like they use one of those thimbles as a table and those kinds of things. They don't have much. As the course of the years go by, guess what happens? They start to have curtains and tablecloths and clothes made out of what? Out of the blanket. The leftovers that Grandpa didn't use made the clothes and all the wonderful furniture for the mouse family beneath the home. All that to say, you never know what's going to happen or come good of your broken things. We can't see it all. The broken things in our lives are deeply important to us, and we may try and hold on to them just like Joseph did, from blanket to button. But even if we lose that most precious thing, there's always the stories that we tell. How many of you have stories that you tell in your family? One of my family's favorites is the time I sat down in a chicken feeder when I was 3 and they couldn't get me out for 36 hours. And they had to break the chicken feeder. And as you might imagine, that chicken feeder never got thrown away until it disappeared when we moved from the farm. We all have those stories, right? Those little things that remind us of some really ridiculous or bad or terrible thing that we hold on to and hold value. And even when they go, even when they're gone, the stories become a part of our lives, become a part of our collective wisdom. I encourage you today to go home and share those stories, pass them on to the next generation. Let them know that those broken things are as important as the amazing blessings that they will have in their lives. For when we know how to hold on to those difficult places, we can survive, we can carry on. We can absolutely carry on. May it be so. I invite you to please rise as your spirits and bodies allow for our closing hymn. This was our hymn of the month back in October or November. So it's been a little while since we sung it. But we will get there. Heaven knows how we will get there, but we will get there. So break not the circle of enabling love.
where people grow forgiven and forgiving. Break not that circle, make it wider still, till it includes, embraces all the living. You get the gist? Just do your best, and remember what I said. It's 90% what you sound like, and only 10% what you say. So you don't have to say the right words, just do your best. Come wonder at this love that comes to life, where words of freedom are with humor spoken, and people keep no score of wrong and revealed, but will that human bonds remain unbroken? Join then the movement of the love that frees, till people of whatever race or nation will truly be themselves, stand on their feet, see eye to eye with laughter and elation. Thank you for going with me on that one. I invite you to turn across the chandelier towards your neighbors. Particularly take notice of people you may not know or may not know well. This is our sacred community. It is by these hands and these hearts and these wonderful minds that we help make a world more beautiful, more whole, in its brokenness and in its love. I invite you to say yes to one another. Yes.
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 In the words of Howard Thurman, keep fresh before us the moments of our highest resolve that in good times or in tempests, in fair weather or in foul, we may not forget that to which our lives are committed. Keep fresh before us the moments of our highest resolve. And may you enjoy our closing postlude, which could easily be our hymn, Carry On by Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. Have a blessed day. Our worship is ended. Let our service begin.
A new way and new